Triple M. Stupid management.
The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie. I just called
to say. My front buzzer is the same as your bloody doorbell, and every time I'm out the back trying to do some restocking, that goes off. So I listen to your program. I've got to stop what I'm doing to find no one that's here. Right. So, Tom, bend over. Ollie, you know where to place it.
Yeah. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, I thought there were customers in my front building.
That bloody doorbell is causing mayhem across the country, Tom.
Look at the dogs out the window, Ollie. They're running down the street going crazy after the doorbell.
Okay, let's leave that in the past.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
Monday was a very doorbell-heavy show.
Yeah.
Tonight, this show's not.
No, tonight I want it to be a Mitcoin-heavy show, Ollie. That's right. We're going to steal a Mitcoin by the end of this week. If you haven't heard about it, Mick and Jane... on their drive show, the best drive show in the country.
Yes.
Mick Molloy created a coin of his own. Now, they're in very high demand. There's not many of them. They're somewhere in the building, Ollie, and I'm going to find them. And
well, I'm helping you out. Don't make it all about you.
Sure. Well, we've got some developments to bring to the show in about half an hour's time.
Great.
The Mitcoin heist.
We'll fit that in around all the bloody comedy that manages to squeeze into this show.
Listen to this.
That's not comedy.
No, that's the laughing that you'll get from the comedy in
this
show.
We can all laugh, though, Tom. The challenge is in making people laugh. And that's why we've got, later in the show, Granny Bingo. You're just laughing along.
Yeah.
And also, much closer to home, in fact, after Hoodoo Gurus, Des Bishop. Okay. That's worse than the doorbell sound effect, my friend.
Oof, God, you're funny.
Complaints coming in on Facebook already. Can Tom stop laughing? Actually, scratch that. Can Tom stop everything? Can Tom just stop? Okay, you're done.
Des Bishop on the show up next. Hoodoo Gurus now. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Hoodoo Gurus, like, wow, wipe out. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We will get some developments in the Mick coin heist very soon.
Tom, I've just realised we've got a comedian in the studio, a guest, Des Bishop. He's got no bloody headphones, though. This is a disaster.
Oh, God, are you listening to... No,
he does.
You do, thank God.
I do, but that's fine. Wait, are you going to get callers?
Well...
Yeah, we will.
Oh, probably. Okay. No doubt.
Do you not want to ruin your hair, Des? You've got beautiful hair.
I don't
want
to ruin my hair, man. I had to blow dry that.
Yeah, you've got beautiful hair. Look,
thank
you don't have to wear the headphones if you don't want to.
I did not have the headphones on because I was worried about my hair.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just for the record.
That's what Tom's reading into it.
Wow, that moved my hair. But since we're talking about my hair, can I just say that I get my hair cut at Brother Wolf in Pran. And I wouldn't normally be plugging...
Pran.
I wouldn't normally... Pran, how do you say it?
Pran.
Pran?
There's a Paran in there.
Paran.
Like a piranha.
Yeah. Paran.
But this is a national show, so you're talking about a very local...
I mean, there's no vowel between the P and the R, but we'll discuss that another time.
Well, it's Paran. But yeah, Tom says, as Tom says, national show. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's an Irish guy. Irish-owned barber, so you got to look after your own.
You like... You are an Irish... You're an American
But I've lived in Ireland way more. I know I have a very strong New York accent, but I've really lived in Ireland three-fourths of my life. So.
Where were you born, though? You know, everybody asks, where were you born?
I know, which is annoying. Because I was born in London, and then I was born on November 12th, 1975, and I spent Christmas in New York, so I was already in New York. They just waited to have me. You couldn't travel when you were pregnant back then, you know, like after a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So they had to wait to have me. Then they went back, but now unfortunately I have this London birth, you know, which like when you live in Ireland, it's like
really
a disease.
Great passport until Brexit, though.
Oh, dude, that did actually affect my life.
Yeah.
Because I used to carry UK passport, just the simplicity, because I was born in London.
Yeah.
But now I have to get an Irish one. I mean, I should have always had an Irish one, but I was kind of lazy.
Yeah.
And I never did it, but now I have to do it because of Brexit. But listen, that's my concerns. My concerns are the least of the Brexit issues.
No, 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 no. That's what they're talking about in those Brexit
but
meetings.
But now I'm alienating all your Aussie fans that are just like, man, I'd love an English passport. Man, it'd be so handy.
So who do you, on the comedy circuit, who do you ID with? The Irishman?
I thought you were going to say, who have you been with?
We'll get to that later on. No, but like the Americans or the Irishmen or the New York, who do you like? Who do you bond with?
Well, my people are Irish, like, you know, Jason Byrne and David O'Doherty. But then I'm very close with Nazim Hussein.
Aussie man.
Yeah, he just had a baby boy. I don't know if that's...
He pulled out last night on that show, and I shouldn't say pulled out. He cancelled on the show.
He didn't pull out. That's one thing we know. He just had a baby boy.
So is that the
one thing we know?
That is the reason why our producer Belle told me, but I didn't want to tell you because then you'd reveal it on air, you know?
You didn't tell me, Belle? Oh, no.
I probably shouldn't have said anything.
Hey, it's our news
is
to share.
Is it on Instagram?
Oh.
Is it on Instagram?
Not yet.
Oopsie poopsie. Live radio. Damn.
Congrats to Nazem and his wife.
Let's drop it, man.
Damn. You're all freaking out now.
Can we dump this?
I was probably bad. It's too late to dump.
Too late to dump. You've only got 10 seconds to dump, don't you?
I can't believe I wasn't told.
Sorry, mate.
Babies, I don't care.
I hope I'm not in trouble, man. I'll be looking at my phone.
No, whatever. You're fine.
Twitter's going off, man.
You're fine.
Twitter is angry.
Ego rhythm.
Yes.
Ego rhythm?
It's the name of the show.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's just an amalgamation of ego and algorithm.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, did you not figure? You didn't catch that?
No, I did.
Oh, thank God.
But I just was making sure that's what
thinking. It's just, I'm sure you've talked to some comedians about how early you have to race.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The show name means
our show was called 1,000 Laughs, and there definitely wasn't that in it.
Yeah, I mean, you got up to what, 132? Which is a very good laugh count.
Yeah.
1,000 laughs is just pretty ridiculous. That's hyperbole, guaranteed.
Well, there was 1,000 laughs, I hope, throughout the whole run.
Festival laugh count.
But
sorry, can I ask? Ego and algorithm, those two words don't naturally go together. I mean, what are you combining there?
Well, in terms of the title, as opposed to anything to do with the show, what I was suggesting was we live in kind of like a narcissistic age driven by social media, but that social media is driven by the algorithm, which is also affecting our behavior. So you put those two things together, you get ego rhythm. Like basically one thing is driving the other.
That's almost too smart. For the audience and for me.
That's brilliant.
So next up on Quiz Show.
Five seconds
to answer this question. Hands on the buzzers.
The show covers. All right, I've got a list here. Male defensiveness around feminism.
Yeah, there's a story behind that.
Islamophobia. His time in China, meaning you. Men. Sexual harassment.
Men.
Oh, did I say that?
In quotations, it wouldn't be a Des Bishop show without a few dirty bits.
I didn't write that. But
you didn't write that?
You're getting some real touchy
stuff.
It's
absolutely true, though.
Yeah.
Now, so the thing about the craziness about the male defensiveness towards feminism...
I know, isn't it ridiculous?
...was... I wrote that 7 months ago in terms of like, will I cover this is something I want to write about. You haven't written any jokes. So 7 months ago, I write male defensiveness of feminism. No Harvey Weinstein, none of that had happened.
Yeah, wow.
And then suddenly I'm doing all these interviews at the beginning of the festival.
Oh, no.
And they're all like, that's going to be a haunted joke. And I'm like, yeah, damn right. I'm not joking about it. But then as it turned out, I kind of just improv the first couple of nights about consent, particularly about consent and about, like, I have a joke in the show where I say, being a man at the moment is like being a German in 1946. It's like, I haven't done anything wrong, but I feel terrible. Right? Now, I know just coming out on the radio, people might think that's controversial, but it's actually, when you think about it, it's not. Yeah. You know, you feel guilt. We're three men here. You know, back in the old, like, it's like the old days when we ran everything here, you know? And
the good old days.
So anyway, all joking aside, I wanted to try to make, you know, touch on that a little bit to make, you know, a bit of funny about the way men feel about all this.
Yeah.
And then I got into consent, which is something that people don't like. You know, they say, let's have a conversation about consent, then nobody has a good one. And I was shocked how many good laughs came and they felt like they mattered.
Because that's tension, isn't there? That's in the audience.
Oh, man, there's tension.
Oh, yeah.
The two bits that cause super tension is... I talk a little bit about Islamophobia in a funny way, and that is the tensest moment, but I release it. And then the second tensest moment is when I say what I just said a minute ago, which I'm sure is very tense in the head office of Triple M.
Nah, man, they're fine.
They're fine. You guys are after 7. They don't care.
Time, right?
It's old hat. It's old hat. Hey, we got so much more to chat about. Des Bishop is here. You can head to desbishop.com and livenation.com.au for complete tour and info.
Good, Tom.
He's showing around the place. But Des, hang around. We've got more to chat about.
Yes, lovely.
Yeah, sweet. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. That's right, Des Bishop. Get those air drums out. Remedy, Black Crows, Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
I wasn't even aware that they were out.
No, you have those air drums. Have you ever played an instrument? Of course, no. Des Bishop is here.
Oh, actually, I did a show in 2012 called Des Bishop Likes to Bang, which was about me learning to... It was about me learning to play the drums.
Oh, was it?
It actually was.
Oh, yeah, no.
It was literally, now, in Melbourne, it didn't really work, the show. It was just like too technical, but eventually I figured it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was genuinely about me. So I
feel like you as a brand is like perfectly.
Me as a brand, how old are you? That's such a millennial thing to say.
Oh, come on, mate. That is like, the you most don't millennial know that you're a brand.
That's the most millennial.
No, you were already on Instagram.
Even the fact
we were on Instagram.
It doesn't matter that I'm on Instagram. You can't handle the truth. It's a millennial thing to say.
No, yeah. Okay. Well, your brand is clearly innuendo and to the perfect amount that suits us. I think we're on the same page with that stuff.
For show titles. For show titles, it's innuendo. I like innuendo. Will Anderson likes using Will in as many puns as you can possibly use. Everyone has their skills.
Yeah, but you say bang, you know, which I'm into that. That's great.
Oh, well, yeah, because I was banging the drums.
Yeah, I know, but it's a double entendre.
Absolutely.
It's great.
It works for titles, but that one wasn't my most popular.
Okay, what was your most popular?
Oh, it doesn't work in Australia, but I did a show about learning the Irish language called In the Name of the Father. Now, you wouldn't know this, but father is the accent over a letter. So In the Name of the Father was the best. But for you guys, unfortunately, it's lost, which is a great reason. This is why we... It's just so...
All right, I better head off, Des. It's been nice.
That's great. I mean, listen, how could you guys not speak the Irish language? I thought you were one of the 60,000 people in the world that speaks the Irish language.
Actually, didn't you bring up... No, that was Scottish, wasn't it? The Harry Potter?
The Scottish, Scottish translation of Harry Potter was crazy.
There was a translation of a Harry Potter book that was in Scottish.
Into Scots Gaelic.
Insane.
Yeah, they had that in Gaelic too.
Really?
In Irish. Yeah. Yeah, there's loads of, you can read loads of books. And I've read The Catcher in the Rye in Mandarin Chinese.
Have you?
Yeah, anyway.
How many, you're a bit of a cunning linguist. How many different...
is this a running theme now?
How many different languages can you
Only
speak?
Only three.
Wow.
Yeah.
But is one, Gaelic
of them, one of them is one of the... Yeah, Gaelic is completely different. Will I rap the first verse of Jump Around in Gaelic for you?
Yes, you will.
Just so you can see how different it is.
Okay. Do you want a beat or anything?
No. Like you.
I'll lay a beat. I'll lay a beat.
Okay, go.
Boom 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 boom.
I'll just do it a cappella.
Okay.
No, I'll just quickly do a bit of it, okay? Dun the clap, dun the veil, Aishle Miscale, McCappin to get digging to Tate Kurda Gale, Tamagal Huara, Kanga me la slara, Gulya walk na beach hunch cockish Lara Tower. I mean, I haven't done it in a while, so I'm like,
we're kind of different.
What I said was na be conch cock, which actually means like don't talk any BS.
So that was Gaelic.
That's Gaelic.
Jump around and by Wu-Tang Clan.
Lame heart. No, Wu-Tang Clan.
Or the other one.
Dude, there's so few white rappers. You're gonna take away one of the like four good white rappers.
House of Pain.
It's the Irish American national anthem. I can do it in Chinese too.
Triple M.
You can do it in Chinese too?
I'll do the last verse fully in Chinese. Is this the beat or is this gonna come in?
It'll come in.
But I'll do it on this, right?
Just loop it, Tom.
You and Lei Shiping Han Di Ho Lai Man Man Ti Gao Chu Ping Mo Feng Shou Cheng Hai Di Lao Wo Jie De Jiang Guang Wo Xin Ge Kai Yong Jie Shi Bi De La Shi Wa Xin Ge Zhou Zhang Bi Ye Dao Wa Wo Hai Mei Cheng Wan How Xiang Teng Zhi Wo Bu Pan Nan How How Shui Xi Tian Tian Xiang Sheng Wo De Shou Chang Ye Xie Xun Zheng Shan Wo De Jie Zhe Hen Shun. You want me to keep going?
Keep going.
Oh, so the chorus is Quang Tiao.
I filmed a boomerang by accident. I tried to film it from the boomerang.
That's a pretty good boomerang, let's say.
It was just a pretty good boomerang. That was impressive.
God, any of that rapping in your show, Egorhythm?
Not in this particular one.
Wow.
I did do a, if we want to keep going with the rapping theme, I did write a hip-hop history of Australia, but I'll give you the last verse if you want it.
Yeah, please. I'll film this properly.
This is the most modern part, even though all of Australian history is like kind of modern history, but this is the most modern part. So it's you got the depression from America, and that was crap. You sent them far lap, but they never sent him back. Then the bombing of Darwin from the Japanese, fear of commies under Robert Menzies, populate or perish, procreate to survive. In Melbourne, over 100,000 Greeks arrive, quarter acres of Fonda, white Australia's a Ghana. Harold Holt drowns, they built a swimming pool in his honor. Then Vietnam and conscription, labor under Whitlam, land rights for blacks back in the political system. For tourism promotion, you send the Yanks, Paul Hogan, they come in droves. Expecting to land loaded with Bogans. Too many political backers. The liberals speak about battlers. The media gets controlled by Rupert Murdoch and Packer. Increased Asian immigration. Hansen creates the one nation. Howard ignores years of the stolen generations. Then Kevin Mandarin Wood. So from there on. No, because I had to change it up recently, and I can't remember the change, but I don't do it anymore.
Dude,
but one of the lines was something 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 going to hell. Big question with. It's Cardinal Pell, but unfortunately, I don't have the flow on that one. But
hey, mate, we'll that's just otherwise. Insane.
That's great.
I did that on the gala in 2009.
Wow.
But I had only just learned.
And
it,
it's
so
still
I was
in
like,
your head.
If you want to see the biggest concentration phase of a performance, watch my gala spot from 2009. I'm like concentrating like, oh my God, this is like so much information.
Whilst we're rapping, I mean, Tom, maybe after this, you want to do your alphabet rap that you perform.
No, there's no, I'm not going to do.
He knows the alphabet rap. How's it going?
Artificial amateurs aren't at all amazing. Yeah. Analytical. I'm not going to do, I'm not going to rap. I'm not going to rap battle.
No, nah, more of this.
It would be nice if you fade yourself out into this. It would be nice.
Yeah, I'll do it during the song. Yeah, off air. Yeah. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. More Des Bishop after this. Ramble on, Led Zeppelin, of course. You don't need me to tell you that. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We've got developments in the heist of a Mick coin very soon. But Des Bishop is hanging out with us. Just such an amazing mind, Des. You're a rapper.
I mean, this is so intense. I'm rapping, and then in between bits, we're having like super conversations.
Yeah.
This is the most interesting time I've had in a radio station, including off-air bits.
Oh, okay.
We win. Yes.
Yes.
Now, Des, your show is touching on heaps of stuff that is both fun, but also some more tetchy personal stuff.
And you can get tickets at desbishop.com and livenation.com.au. You're at the Comedy Festival in Melbourne, and you're going up to Sydney very soon.
Oh, that's right. You guys go national?
And yeah, man. Just not Perth, because who cares?
Oh, I'm going there too.
Yeah, but we don't care.
But I care. Nah, I care, Perth people. Yeah, care. If you're a displaced Perth person, I care.
We don't care about
one person cares, that's good. So some tense stuff here, Islamophobia and consent as well. How do you go about broaching those topics, and what are you really loving performing, and what's being received well around that consent stuff?
Well, I'm loving talking about the consent stuff because I didn't think that I had stuff on consent. I had done a podcast about consent about 2 months ago after the Aziz Ansari thing.
Did you guys
chat about that?
And difficult. Yeah, well, really. A little bit.
It was a difficult one.
Yeah, because he's a seemingly liked man and is a feminist, and yet he was painted as someone who didn't do his due diligence.
Yes, but then at the same time, you think, is it fair for this negative sexual experience to be in the paper in the context of Me Too? And I found the whole thing really interesting. Yeah, but what I took from it in terms of, you know, a lot of women said, well, I've had similar experiences, and it's not fair to suggest that this is assault in any way. But at the same time, I have been in a situation where men don't read the situation. Yeah. So I did this podcast about consent. Anyway, I didn't think I was going to end up making it into the show, but I started to talk about, you know, basically like how men need to be clear about consent.
Yeah.
And it kind of took off in the show because I think like when guys are hanging around and there's no women around, the joke at the moment is kind of like, so what do I need, like a lawyer to get a blowjob? You know, that like I'm sure you've heard those kind of, you know, like, what do I got to take a contract out and be like, listen, I'm about to,
where's the line and what's required?
I'm about to stick it in here. So there's look at clause 6 and 7 and sign on the dotted line. So I think that's like a misunderstanding of like what's necessary. So I've enjoyed talking about what I think, you know, like basically how you should get consent, how it's not a big deal. And then I talk about like the gray areas then, which were particularly inspired by the Aziz Ansari thing, which was some women talked about coercion, that he was being coercive. And I think, well, then you talk about nonverbal clues. And I say, well, that's nonsense. You know, like it has to be clear. You can't rely on nonverbal clues. So in the show, I kind of frame it as like, men don't rely on nonverbal cues, just be really clear. And I make jokes about that, but they're all like completely filthy. And then,
so is it kind of up to men now, do you think, to really just get that clear? Yes. Is that where you stand on that?
Well, that's what I'm saying in the show. But I also think that, you know, like, you know, I don't like to speak on behalf of women because it's such a tough one. But basically, I joke a little bit in the show about, like, so say you get to a situation where you're charged up, you know, and like men get charged up, they change. Actually, in the show, I say that a man with an erection is the dumbest thing on the planet. So we cannot rely on nonverbal clues because they have no, for some reason, our erections require all our wisdom. Yeah. I don't know why my wisdom needs to fill it, but for some reason. So anyway, I sort of joke in that space. But what was I talking about leading up to that?
You don't want to speak for women, but...
I do think in general that women should also just, you know, just make sure they're very clear too. They shouldn't leave anything open to chance. And I also make the joke in the show about how when I was a teenager into the making out phase, we felt like it was our job to push, right? Like a guy, you put your hand where you can, and then your hand gets moved away.
Yeah.
That was not negative.
Isn't that weird though?
But that's
teenage dynamics, isn't it? Because
that is teenage dynamics. You put your hand and the woman blocks it away, and they're happy to block and you're happy to try to get one by, right? So now we're saying, well, one, that's not cool, but certainly maybe it's kind of okay, but it's important to realize that like this can't carry on as things get
and
more
serious.
And for
adults as well, I think it's a different story.
Yeah, well, it's different anyway for adults. Most people know. Yeah, you know, anyway, yeah, the whole point is totally. From early on, the messages are unclear. So let's just be clear from this point on, because I think everyone wants to have a conversation about consent, but then they never talk about the awkwardness. So the awkwardness would be, for example, you're charged up. That's what I was talking about, right?
Right, right.
You're
right.
Charged up and you think it's about to happen and then the woman is like, no. Did you just... Oh, my God. I'm trying to have like a serious...
Well, I was charged up. I was charged up.
You play sound effects. Yeah. It's a button pusher.
So you think it's your right.
Oh.
No, no. Wow. Anyway.
That's touchy ground. No, yeah. So you charged up.
You charged up. You think it's your right. And then the woman is like, not tonight.
Yeah.
Right? So then like you can't... You know, you can't do it, but is it okay to be like, okay, but maybe you could do something else? And I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm saying these are the questions that nobody asks. Like, what's coercion? And then what's just like natural, like, well, maybe we could negotiate something less than what we expected?
Yeah, or is it just put it away, pull your pants up and
well, the
walk
joke
on
I
by.
Say in the show, which I'm not afraid to say on air because I think more men should do it,
yeah.
Is if they think they're a little too revved up and they can't control themselves. I don't mean in terms of like that they're going to assault somebody, but maybe they're going to get in a bad mood or they're going to like get angry at the woman because they felt like she was going to do something and she's not,
insane.
To just leave, go to the bathroom and
cool.
Look after yourself.
Because it doesn't, it's an altered mind, isn't it?
It really is an altered mind. And then the joke I say in the show is basically like, it's almost like magic. Like, oh my God, where was I? Oh my God, where am I? Oh
and
my God. What
you're
was
back
I,
in the room.
What was I thinking? Wow. I don't even like this girl. What was I thinking?
So I'm hungry.
That's the joke. That's the joke.
Well, Des, there's so much that you cover in your show. And have you still got tickets available?
But I think that's healthy, by the way. There's tickets available, but we're about to add an extra Saturday show. So
even if
the Saturday's sold out when you look, you want to go Saturday, we should add one but within 24 hours.
Amazing. Well, if you're in Melbourne, catch him until April 22. If you're in Sydney, April 24 and April 26 to 29, you're in Perth as well, but who cares? DesBishop.com.
If you see him walking into a bathroom, it's going to be awkward.
And Live Nation.
Des must be charged up.
And he's back now. He's chilled out.
He's back in the room. Thank you so much, Des. It was so much fun hanging
Thanks
out.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers,
Thank
Des.
You.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Just like a 5-year-old, these two keep asking questions. And just like a 5-year-old, our Play-Doh bill is through the roof. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom, the comedy festival's almost done, and great to have Des in there.
Well, for Melbourne anyway. Sorry. Sydney's just about to start.
For Melbourne, yeah. It is the big one, Melbourne. I do prioritise Melbourne, but it is the biggest one.
It's
so let's be clear about that.
Third largest in the world.
Sydney's is on the smaller end.
It's cute.
It's cute.
I'm kidding, Sydney. Chill out. Is, jeez, right. Stop sending emails.
Des is great. And of course, in about half an hour's time, Granny Bingo.
Oh.
Is that the official name? Granny Bingo?
Granny Bingo.
Couple of grannies coming in.
This is going to be absolutely insane. If you can hang around for half an hour, you'll want to hear the grannies.
And again, another bigger name tomorrow, Sammy J.
Oh.
So it's a big run home for us this week. Because next week it's just back to standard programming, which is just Tom and I. Doing our shtick.
Where did you learn to horizontal tease? It's amazing.
Radio school, mate. You should go there. Learn how to back announce a song. Stop fumbling over titles and artists.
Oh, you just fumbled. Up next, big developments in stealing a Mick coin. The Mick coin heist. It's happening. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Arrows, Foo Fighters. Yeah, baby. You know where you are. That's it. Tom and Ollie are here. Hanging out with you till 10 o'clock. Granny Bingo, not far away. The grannies from the caravan will be in here. Ooh, it's going to be fun stuff. It's going to be wild. I don't know what these grannies are going to say.
But will they get into the deeper stuff as Des Bishop did?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Ollie, last night, if you missed it, we have announced that there is a heist happening this week. The biggest heist of all time.
It's your idea, Tom. Yep. You love a bit of quick cash. I guess you bought a new car, you're low on money, and you want to get some cash back. And
that
so you
true.
Thought, I'm going to steal a Mick coin.
That's right. Mick and Jane, Kennedy Malloy, across your evening from 4 till 6, the best drive show this country has, have created their own currency. Yeah. Mick Malloy, the Mick coin. One side is Mick Malloy's face, the other a Dick and Balls.
So you heard that and you thought, I need to get one of those coins.
There's only about 100 made. They're being given away in exchange of goods and services. They're, of course, back next week because they're away this week. They had their rostered week off. Now, I thought this is a perfect opportunity to sneak around the office, steal a coin, And then, mate, we've got all the power in the world.
Don't bother exchanging goods and services. Just steal one.
Now, you've joined me in on this quest.
Yeah, well, I have to. It's my job to join you. So you said, come on, Ollie, let's go around the office and try and get some leads and work out where the coins are kept. And we had a crack.
Hi.
Hi, Emily.
How are you?
Excellent. I've got just a question for you. Do you know where the Mick coins are kept?
No. I don't have any idea.
No ideas. No leads. Probably in this room behind you.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're allowed to touch them.
Got the big boss, Goffy, here. Goffy, you got a minute?
Got two for you, Ollie. How are you, mate?
Oh, good, mate. Serious question.
Sure.
Looking for the Mick coins.
Yeah, I heard a whisper about that.
Yeah, just looking to get a couple of coins just to put in the vending machine. Do you know where they are?
Oh, mate, I have no idea.
Come on.
Oh, no.
You're the boss around here.
Here's what I can tell you. I've heard they're in the building somewhere.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Mick and Jane don't trust me with that information, though.
Hey, Lumo, head of promotions. Just quickly, do you know, like, anything about, like, where the Mick coins are?
I actually don't. Their office is out the back.
Like, if you could go to anyone to ask them where you reckon they'd be, who would you go see? I don't know, just saying, like, no reason.
Dangerous Dave.
Do you think he knows where the Midcoins are?
I think he knows.
Brilliant.
Oh, my God.
So there
Did you
go,
hear that, Ollie?
There you go, Tom, yeah. We failed. I give up.
No.
What?
No. Dangerous Dave is our lead.
Oh, I tuned out when you... When
don't
your bit came.
If you're tuning out.
Sorry. Okay, because my bits were.
No.
And then so you spoke to.
I spoke to Lumo, head of promotion.
She said Dave.
She said Dangerous Dave would have an idea about where these coins are.
Okay. Well, you should follow that up.
Are we a team or not?
Yeah.
It's currently, I feel like it's just I.
Well.
And there ain't no I in
what's
team.
What's one coin worth? We're going to split the coin value in half?
Mate, the show will have a coin. Don't worry about this. All I'm saying is Dangerous Dave has all the power.
All right, well, I'll go speak to him if you want.
Well, before you speak to him, here's what I'm thinking. I reckon we need some dirt on Dangerous Dave.
Oh, what for?
I'm thinking we need some dirt so that we can hold him hostage.
Oh.
And blackmail Dangerous Dave to telling us where the coins are in the office.
A bit of bargaining power. Don't mind if you do.
You're absolutely correct, Ollie.
So if we can get some dirt on Dange, we can then hold that over him. Not physical dirt, but bad goss.
Do you have any dirt on Dangerous Dave?
Just the obvious stuff.
Like what?
Oh, he's bald. Oh. Well, come on, he knows that.
Is he?
He must know. If not, I'm happy to tell him.
No, don't.
That can be how we get the coin. Dave, if you don't give me the coin, I will tell you some shocking news about your head.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I mean, Dange has been on the M's for a very long time.
Yeah.
Most particularly in Melbourne, but he's now, of course,
but nationally.
Kennedy Malloy's button pusher. Right?
He's a national favourite.
Here's what I'm thinking. 133353. Yeah. Do you have any dirt on Dangerous Dave?
Oh,
that we can then hold above him so he can tell us where this coin is.
Outsource that stuff, Tom. Great work.
133353. Do you know any dirt on Dangerous Dave? Now, it doesn't have to be true. Like, I'll take any dirt at the moment. I mean, I'm not going to verify this dirt that you'd call up with.
We can't verify it.
No.
We have no time.
No, exactly right.
Dirt is good dirt.
We're doing a national night show. At what point of the day do we have time?
To verify.
133353. Do you have dirt on Dangerous Dave?
Do you have dirt on Dangerous Dave? What a sentence.
It's good alliteration, isn't it?
Really good.
Do you have D on DD?
Double D.
No.
Do you call him Double D?
Okay. 133353. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Give us a call. Maureen and Edith, our grannies, are in the building. We'll be speaking to them next, all from Granny Bingo. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. And we've just started the greatest heist of all time. We're going to be stealing a Mick coin by the end of this week. It'll all be worthwhile for you as well. I'm sure we'll be able to get some power for you.
Good, Tom. Good. Explain why it is of value to everyone listening.
Well, mate, there's only 100 made.
Yep.
I have a feeling that we'll be able to, we could give ours away.
Well, we'll share in the wealth and we will distribute and redistribute like a good Labor government would.
We did some talking around the office, some investigating to find out where these Mick coins are kept.
To no luck for me anyway.
Well, no, but I did find out that Dangerous Dave is a great person to go to find out where these Mick coins are.
Well, he's
are
the
kept.
next kingpin in the show, isn't he?
He's their button pusher, he's their anchor. He's been in this building for a while.
He does the panel like you do the panel on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the panelist, he's the panelist. Oh. And I do the Mick and Jane stuff.
Yeah, but I'm not just a panelist.
Ah, well, you know, semantics. But so now we're left with this conundrum. No one has any goss on Dangerous Dave. The plan was to get Dangerous Dave some dirt on him.
To hold him, you know,
to hold against him, to blackmail him and go, mate, we've heard some stuff about you.
He's too much of a nice guy, Ollie.
He's clean. He's a nice guy. That's the issue.
Now, we still need some dirt to at least hold above him, to play to him, to get him to give us the coin. So here's what I'm thinking now.
Some soil.
133353. Do you have any dirt on any Dave?
Any Dave?
I need you to call now, 133353. Do you know a Dave? And is there some dirt you can dish on a Dave? Dish dirt on a Dave on 133353.
Look, it's pretty wide, Tom, but I can see what you're doing here. I mean, all we need is audio that just sounds like
to just sit there. To just sit there. We just need to sit
someone
there.
Someone to go, yeah, I've heard that Dave steals people's rabbits from the backyard.
I mean, that'd be brilliant.
That'd be powerful stuff.
He just needs the threat to then tell us what this Mitcoin is.
I wouldn't put it past Dave to do that, to be honest. So
Dave to do that?
Yeah, steal rabbits.
Dave would do that. I'm trying to alliterate.
Stop trying with the alliteration, mate. I am an English teacher. I know alliteration when I see it. You're doing a good job, but don't force it.
Dish dirt on Dave right now on 133353. And if you can't tell, this is us padding. Waiting for the dirt to come through.
Mate, I'm not padding. But how about that news about the marijuana being legalised?
What?
Or the Greens?
Nah, don't worry about that. We've got Clinton on 133353. Clinton, you've got some dirt on Dangerous Dave.
How are we doing, boys?
Good, mate.
Good, Clinton.
That's good. When he was doing the morning shift for Triple M, he was winning all the awards, and because he thought he was above himself, in order to actually get to stroll down the Point Cook Shopping Centre, he would actually wear a wig and glasses so no one would recognise him.
Now, this is definitely true, isn't it, Clinton?
And this is about the real Dangerous Dave.
It's the real Dangerous Williams, yes.
Jeez, that is real good goss. By the way, what a wanker. He used to wear a wig. That's great. Could you tell it was him? Like, you saw him and you thought, that's actually Dave?
Yeah. But you could tell because, you know, he's got that 80s style curly black wig that he normally wears.
And he'd go, can I have a coffee, please? Dangerous Dave.
Very much so.
Okay, this is great dirt. Thank you very much, Clinton. We've got at least some dirt here. 133353.
That's some good clay dirt. Like, there's some solid sediment going on there.
Kelly, you've got some dirt on a Dave, not necessarily our Dange Dave.
No, yeah, just a normal Dave. I was in a club and I was very thirsty, and Dave wouldn't give me some of his beer. He made me go buy my own one.
Mate, you're joking.
Oh, no. And you were thirsty as?
What can you do?
Yeah.
So Dave is just stingy.
He is. So I'm not sure if that represents Dangerous Dave, but...
No, well, it definitely is, isn't it?
May run in the name.
Sounds like Dangerous Dave to me.
He's stingy.
Yep.
I don't see Dave sharing his beers. Actually...
Stingy and wears a wig.
Dangerous Dave once stole our beers.
He did. He stole a Bridge Road Brewers beer.
Our little Bridge Road Summer Beachy Ale.
Man, we've got some good dirt here. Come on.
Well, yeah, sorry. Can you just say it again, Rob?
Man, we've got some good dirt here.
Oh, man, there's some great dirt that we can hold over Dangerous Dave.
Let's power ahead. Tomorrow... Yeah.
Good call.
Let's knuckle down on Dangerous Dave. Let's get him in a room. Let's bust him up a little bit.
Oh, no.
Rough him up.
Nope.
Nah?
Nah, just speak to him.
Oh, just use the audio?
Yep.
All right. I'm old school, but that's okay.
And then we'll get this Mitcoin by the end of the week. The grannies are up next from Granny Bingo.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, yes, it is. And Ollie, I don't know about you, but I've just lost my mind as we have the grannies in here from Granny Bingo.
Feeling pretty young, Tom.
Edith Val and Maureen McGillicuddy, how are we doing?
You'll be as old as us one day.
One day, Maureen. Yeah. McGillicuddy.
That's right. Yeah.
Where's that surname from?
It's an old Scottish name.
Is it?
McGillicuddy, yeah. And then I changed it for a little while during the war. I won't tell you what. No, I don't think it's
Mrs. Goebbels. sorry.
And Edith, what's your surname?
Edith Vale.
Yeah. And there's a third member just over
Caroline Springs is here, yes.
Hey, Caroline, come over here, please. Here she is. Caroline, say something and say hello to everybody. Don't say that. Oh,
sorry. For your listeners at home, Tom, Ollie, they might not understand. Caroline is a dumb mute.
A very dumb mute.
Caroline. Okay, well, we'll just let Caroline's mic hang over there quietly.
Caroline, don't do that in the studio. Someone's going to have to clean that up, Caroline.
Oh, Belle, our producer, can you come and get a doggy bag in here?
Sorry about that. She's not toilet trained.
We never bothered. It's too late now. When they get too old, you can't teach
teach an old dog new tricks.
All right. Well, ladies, you're doing a show called Granny Bingo, which we're going to touch on pretty soon. But as well, I just want to pick your brains as to your life experience. I mean, you've seen a lot.
Oh, yeah. Everything. I think now is our happiest time in life.
That's right, yes. Well, you get to a certain age where you don't care anymore, you know, Tom. Yeah.
We'll get more into this after of this, whatever. Okay. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. I'm thrown. Take Me Back, Noise Works, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Very iconic, that song, as we do have the grannies in here, Edith Vale and Maureen McGillicuddy, as well as, of course, Caroline Springs is here. Mm. She's just a mute, so she won't
she is. That's right.
She won't about be her. Speaking.
Now, if she bites you, boys, if you've had your tetanus shots recently,
just get a booster in the morning.
Just in case. Yeah.
Edith.
Well, she's got her teeth in at the
moment. Edith, you can't even wear your headphones because your hair is so high.
Very, very fashionable woman. Thank you for noticing. Yes. I've had my hair done for the comedy festival at the start of the festival.
Yes.
And I put a lot of hairspray in there and I have to sleep like a geisha.
How do they sleep?
Just with a little block of wood under my neck and I can't move. You know? Yeah. Oh, the things we do for your beauty. Yeah.
Well, there's a photo up on our Instagram account and Facebook at Tom and Ollie. You can see the grannies in full glory. Yeah. Well,
people go to Pilates now. You know, I do Pilates. I love it, you know.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a great excuse because I do a seniors Pilates class.
Yeah.
And it's a really good excuse sometimes when you just need to get a bit of gas out. And you use one of the rolls.
See, boys, I tell you what, and I don't, you know, I feel rude saying this in front of your listeners, but Maureen did a downward dog the other day. They had to evacuate the studio.
All of South Yarra empty.
Yeah. It wasn't Bikram yoga where it's sweaty.
It was by the end, love.
I created Bikram yoga.
You made your own Bikram studio.
Hot curry, yeah.
Edith, do you do any physical work? Like Pilates?
No, I don't do a lot, love. As Maureen said, you get to a certain age, you can't control all of the muscles that you used to be able to control.
Yeah. We climbed the Sydney Harbour Bridge one night. Yes, one day, rather. We'd only do it during the day. And they said to us, you know, go slowly because you're a bit older. Well, we did. It was all senior citizens
34
climbing.
34 senior citizens climbing the Sydney Harbour Bridge. It sounded like the Sydney Wind Orchestra was rehearsing down at the Opera House.
It's the first time I've ever seen waves in Sydney Harbour.
You don't believe it. Good one, Maureen.
See, this is Maureen. This is why I don't listen to FM radio. It's all potty humour.
Potty. Toilet humour.
It's disgusting. You'd be more ABC listeners yourself.
John
Laws was still on radio. I'd be listening to him right now. I'd have him in my ear.
I'm sure you boys. I'm sure you boys are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Well, we're a bit younger. We're trying to keep Triple M young, but it's nice to have you here in the studio. Now, tell us about your show. What is the vibe when you guys get on stage?
Well, luckily, our show is not on stage. So we do two types of shows. One of them is Granny Bingo, which is on the stage, because all of a sudden everyone starts to like bingo again, you know.
Right.
We've made it cool, Ollie. Very cool.
And how have you made it cool?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
Is it because it's on Instagram or something?
Yeah, probably. That's why, yes. But, you know, we've taken a leaf. All the famous pop stars that you people listen to, the Seekers and everything, you know. We'll try and play a bit of their music and stuff and make it a bit cool for the young kids.
That's good.
Georgie Girl and all that.
Oh, hey there, Georgie Girl.
We'll stop there because you might have to pay royalties.
It's too accurate.
But the second type of show you do is from a caravan,
that's
is that right?
That's right. So the comedy
festival now in Melbourne. We're doing a visit with Nan in a caravan.
Oh.
And the idea is that we think not enough old people own caravans, or they're dead. And we've decided that we'd bring, for the people that don't have their grandparents with them anymore, or older people who want to see their future in the next 10 years, can come along and see and visit us in our caravan.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you present a nice image of the future, or is there some confronting?
We give the full granny experience.
Yeah.
And the full granny experience is locking the door and talking at you for 15 minutes.
That's right.
Right, we give that. Yeah. There's nothing more authentic.
And a cup of tea and a bicky. It's not all doom and gloom.
Like a Monte Carlo or what are you?
We haven't got that kind of money, love, no.
It's just in a milk.
You'll get a nice finger, a Scotch finger.
Very nice finger.
How about a milk arrowroot?
Keep your reach to yourself, please.
Sorry.
You know Tom too well.
I do.
We have a nice vovo every now and then if we get one of those people in.
The yes voters.
We give them a nice, they love them. They go mad for them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, we voted yes here, both of us.
Good.
Good.
It was a bit manly, wasn't it? I had a frog in my throat.
That's too much fun. The grannies are sticking around. I reckon we should put a question to the people after this. Yes. What do you reckon, grannies?
Oh, please, I'd love to chat to some of your listeners.
Before that, Pearl Jam, Tom and Ollie on Triple M with Granny Bingo. Even flow, Pearl Jam, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We'll get to what silly thing you've cried over very soon, but we've got the grannies from Granny Bingo in. We've got Edith Vale and Maureen McGillicuddy.
It's not that difficult to say.
McGillicuddy.
No, not like all, you know.
Some of the names you hear these days.
You know, all these new made-up names people have.
Of course, you can see the grannies tonight at Festival Club if you're in Melbourne. It's happening at 11:30. Tickets are $15. It's going to be crazy amounts of fun. You've got some special guests, Joel Creasy, Mel Buttle.
They needed a bit of a hand selling their tickets. Like.
Joel, he keeps trying to break it, and he can't.
The poor thing, Reese Nicholson, of course.
Yes.
He was here last week, was he?
He was. You like Reese Nicholson?
Thanks for having him on, love.
No worries. We like to support the
up-and-comers.
The only reason we're on now is because we're doing the review of all the people we've suggested to come on. And here we are.
Now, I've just seen that on Instagram. I posted a photo of you guys, and Granny Bingo, your account, has liked it. Who runs your Instagram account, ladies?
Caroline. It's all by mistake. She doesn't know what she's doing. Also, my grandson, Thomas, does it as well. He does quite a lot of the social media.
That's nice.
Yeah, he's
got us on the Instagram.
That's right.
And the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Something called Grindr.
Grindr, he's got that. He says it's very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he said we had to pay for the subscription for it.
He said he was worried about someone who was following him after Saturday night from Grindr, but he seems to have gone. I haven't heard from him for a few
days. Followers are good. You want followers?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course we do. We believe that's the new digital currency. The more followers you've got, the richer you are.
Now, we ask questions on this show, ladies. Yes. That's our motto. We have questions. And do you want to ask a question of your own? Because I feel like you might enjoy the chance just to speak to some of the folks out there who maybe you wouldn't speak to normally.
That's right. You know, we tried to spread our wisdom around a bit.
Spread our wings. I haven't really got wings. They're a bit short. Flaps.
As much as you can. And she does it so much care.
You got some wisdom to
offer,
do you?
Well, I was thinking, and you know, your producer did come in during that last song. I love Pearl Jam. Thank you, Tom.
No worries.
And I did ask us to leave as quickly as possible.
Producer Bell, what are you doing, mate?
Hideous little thing at the front there.
Dressed up like a doily today.
And we will leave.
It is a doily top, isn't it?
Oh, producer Bell, jump on your mic if you want. You can tell
Bell. Don't make it sure.
And, you know, she said she's calling the police. And we will leave very soon. But before we do, Tom and Ollie, I thought it would be nice. You know, we've lived long and lovely lives.
Yeah.
And we've had some great experiences. Mm. Perhaps some of your callers might have some little problems they'd like to chat with us.
Okay.
And we'll, give them some...
Have you got a name for the segment?
Granny's Pearls of Wisdom.
Oh,
nice. Hold on, we can do a sting. Hang on, you do that again.
Granny's Pearls
of Wisdom.
Oh,
yeah, that's really good.
Is that good?
You can
call the news is starting.
1-3-3-5-3.
That's great.
Call in for Granny's pearls.
So if you have an issue or a problem that you think maybe an older generation like yourselves might be able to answer.
Maybe maybe relationship advice.
Yeah, maybe there's a boy that doesn't want to take you down to the dance.
Medical advice would you take?
We'll get Caroline in for that one. I met a girl last week at the supermarket working on the register. She said a boy didn't want to take her down for the dance because there's no dance halls anymore.
Right.
It's all changed.
Yeah, it is changing, isn't it?
Clubs?
Do you go clubs?
Oh, we go to lots of clubs in Melbourne here.
Yeah, Country Women's Association.
Yes, yes.
The Bowls.
Yes, the Burwood Baking Club. It's great.
1-3-3-5-3 if you need a granny pearl of wisdom, if you need some help, some life advice. You guys have used to perform at the Mooney Ponds RSL.
Many years ago. Yeah, we got sacked up.
I heard some reviews that weren't so positive on
not at all. People really disliked us, you know. And it was quite funny, you know. I would have thought people in Mooney Ponds were used to old queens dressing up as women and insulting people. You know, then we decided we'd put on our own little night of bingo and we went for the pink dollar with all the yes voters.
Your Joel Creasy's and your Reese Nicholson's.
They love us.
Reese Nicholson? Is he?
I think, is he gay? I don't know.
What? I am so out of the loop. Next you'll be saying Molly Meldrum's a pill.
1-3-3-5-3. Do you need a granny pearl of wisdom? Give us a call. They can help out in any way. This is Choir Girl, Cold Chisel, just for you grannies, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Choir Girl, Cold Chisel, Triple M's Tom and Ollie having too much fun here with Granny Bingo. They're on tonight at the Festival Club if you're in Melbourne and also at their caravan. For the rest of the festival, Grannies?
That's right, dear. Yeah.
If we live that long, Tom,
I'm welcome death sooner rather than later.
We have Edith Vale and Maureen McGillicuddy in the studio. Did I say that better this time,
Maureen? That's
perfect,
Tom. Okay, you've got almost Scottish accent.
Yes. And your third member, Caroline Springs, had to leave.
She did. She might have fallen down the toilet, hopefully.
How do you guys meet? Are you guys old friends in life?
We went to a boarding school many years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Ollie, called the Lord of Our Souls in Wangaratta.
Yeah.
The Lord of Our Souls.
And we've been best friends since then, haven't we, love?
Oh, I'm 90 now. She's a bit older than me. She got kept back.
Yes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my stitch needlework, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't good enough.
And just, it's been a full life. Any ups and downs or any, you know, road bumps with you guys?
The war wasn't great.
The war wasn't good. No, I'll be honest with you, I was working for the Germans.
Yeah.
Oh. I was a double agent, don't get the wrong idea. Oh. I was a double agent. And I was a pilot, and my job at night time was to fly over London and drop little parcels off. And Maureen and I had a bit of a racket going on, you know, because she worked for His Majesty's Army in London. Right. You know.
Yeah. My job was to be a human air raid siren.
Oh,
yeah.
And I call her up, my code word was...
Put on the kettle.
Put on the kettle.
Yes.
And you do a siren.
Yeah, and I'd just stand on the streets and say, you know, don't switch your dials, ladies and gentlemen. This is not an emergency.
Still Triple M.
Well, just a drill.
But as always, that job has now been replaced by robots.
As everything does.
It's a shame,
give us
isn't it?
A break.
Well, you've asked on the phones, haven't you? Do you want to ask what you're doing again?
Yes. If anyone needs some lovely advice from a grandmother, maybe your grandmother's dead.
Yep.
Maybe you just don't like talking to her anymore.
I don't like talking to
her. You can call us up and we'll give you some advice. It's one... I can't read.
1-3-3-5-3.
1-3-3-5-3.
And what's the segment called again?
Granny's Pearls of Wisdom.
I've got
That's much better.
Well, we've got Rob on 1-3-3-5-3. Rob, you need some help.
G'day, Rob.
Yes, how are you going?
G'day, Rob. How are you, love? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. Ives in Sydney.
We're from St. Ives in Sydney. What a coincidence. Oh, Rob, I haven't seen your
ambulance. I'm an Uber driver, so I probably might have picked you up in my big German tank.
Oh. We would have hailed that one. I'm sure.
For sure.
Yes.
Well, I can fit the wheelchair in there and the crutches.
What are you saying? Do you think we're unable?
No. I'm an Uber select, so I cater for all different types of people.
Okay, Rob, enough bragging, mate. What's your problem?
You are single, Rob. Uber
ask the lady.
Oh, well, I'm single for the right lady. I've got an 18-year-old that parties too hard. How do I get him to slow down a bit?
kick him in the kneecaps. He can't leave the house.
No, I can't reach his kneecap. He's size 11 feet and he's going to be a basketball player.
Do you want to
player.
Give him my number then, Lance?
Well, he is.
Have you ever heard of a cougar?
Yeah, I'm a saber-toothed tiger. I've been a lot of them. Yeah?
Yes.
Is your son single?
He is now with that kind of offer.
Oh, yes. That will definitely want him. That'll make him never leave the house again. One night with my friend Edith.
Oh well, he's half Indonesian, half Australian, so he's all tanned and tall and dark and handsome.
And you get a passport for Indonesia, love. Oh, that's lovely. Pretty good.
Oh, I love Nasi Goreng. Yeah.
Do you like
Bali? Do you like Indonesia?
Oh yes, very nice. Yeah. Yes, yes. And what's your son's name?
Ethan,
if you're listening, now listen up, buddy. Oof. You don't go out anymore, all right? Good. Has it helped, Rob?
You told him.
Not really, but...
thanks
okay.
for calling. Glad we could help.
Granny's pearls of wisdom, indeed.
If you can, if you need any more help, 133353. Let's get some more granny pearls of wisdom out there.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. It's like Parliament Question Time. With less name-calling.
You have a face like a kicked-in biscuit tin, Tom.
Maybe not. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
I don't recall saying that, but anyway...
face like a kicked-in biscuit tin. Yeah. That's an old saying.
We've got to say goodbye to you, grannies. It's been a pleasure.
Edith Vallamoring McGilligutta, you have to get out of here. You have to head over to Festival Club.
That's right, on Swanston Street, if you're in Melbourne. And we're going to give away, prizes coming out of your bum.
Really?
Yep.
Don't be rude, Maureen.
What prizes have you got?
Oh, we've got toasters and irons and...
Slow cookers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have any, toys or anything?
I've got a waffle maker. Yeah. Don't talk about your private bits. We've got all sorts of things, vouchers for food, and the Comedy Festival, and they've been very, very generous.
Brilliant.
It's 11:30, my giddy aunt.
Yeah, how are you staying up till 11:30?
Coca-Cola, yes. V?
Yes, right.
And any other energy drink who'd be willing, who maybe currently is a sponsor of Triple M.
Well...
Not good for the heart, though. Is it not good for the heart, those drinks?
So far, so good.
Okay, great.
I'm not whinging.
Well, Red Bull gives you wings, but for you girls, it's not wings, is it?
It's flaps. That's right.
And a dead dog on you, Edith.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
You can't pout on radio, Edith.
The beautiful thing about radio as well is they can't see your expressions, you know.
Well, make sure you check out Granny Bingo. There's not long left if you are in Melbourne. The caravan out the front of the Arts Centre or
where
tonight
else do you go? Where
at the
else
Festival
the
Club.
Country?
We're going in Sydney, Adelaide and Brisbane.
And we just come back from Adelaide.
Oh,
how was it?
Really lovely.
Are you going to go to Sydney or Brisbane?
We go to Sydney once a month for bingo.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Where do you play?
At the...
Beresford,
that's right.
Oh, there you go.
Adelaide. It was really nice. We did love Adelaide. It was nice to come back to Melbourne, though. It's nice to be able to go to a supermarket after 4 p.m., isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, grannies, thank you so much for visiting.
Thanks for having us.
At Granny Bingo on Instagram and Facebook, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's right.
And thanks so much for hanging out.
See you, boys.
Bye. See you, ladies.
See ya. We'll check on Gang of Youths now. No offence.
Gang of Oldies. See you later, girls.
Bye. See ya.
Tom and Ollie, Triple M. The ARIA award-winning Gang of Youths. What can I do if the fire goes out? It's Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Of course, new music here. So lovely to have the Granny Bingo team in here of Edith Vale, Maureen McGillicuddy, and of course, Caroline Springs, Kyle and Thomas. As well, just mention their sons that came in here as well.
Tom, great segue because over the weekend I was actually at an event with a lot of old people.
You got a bit of a donut mouth there, Ollie, do you?
I'm sorry?
You got a bit of a donut mouth?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No, I think I'm just got a normal mouth.
What was that?
A normal mouth.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Have a look.
Oh, yeah, no donut in there.
So, as I was saying, Tom, over the weekend I was at an event with a lot of oldies. It turned out to be a 60th anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Okay.
Which is a long time.
60 years married?
Yes, huge. Jeez. I didn't know that. It was more of a family reunion. it was more of like a, let's go to this event because this side of the family haven't seen you since you were like 0 years old.
Is that because you got so many dads?
No. Separate issue.
Oh, okay.
This is just because, I don't know, some families catch up a lot and some don't. I don't see a whole lot of those guys. So I walk into this room. It's like an hour out of the city. And I walk into the room with my girlfriend, Sarah. She's come along because Mum said, you know, it'd be great if you can come along, meet the family, meet the Rellos.
And you've never met them before?
Nah. I walk in the room and I'm like, people sort of look. And
sorry,
I'm,
you've never met them before?
No, never met them before. I'm not teary. I'm fine. And I walk
sounds
in.
Sounds like a troubling and childhood.
They look at me and they go, hey. And I'm like, hey, I don't know anyone. How good's this? Anyway, the crux of the story is that it was a fine event, and it was, as you'd expect, a pub meal, chatting. How do you fit into the family? Oh, there should be a bloody tree here. We need a diagram to work out who's who. I'm Roger's sister. Oh, I'm Roger's wife's sister. Yeah. I'm from that. Anyway, there was a speech made by the 60th anniversary couple.
You don't know their names.
I do, John.
Their family.
John and Margie. And they're obviously getting on. They're 90 or so.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know any of them. My girlfriend, Sarah, clearly didn't know any of them.
No, because she's like a third wheel.
She's just my partner.
Well, to you and the family, she's the third wheel.
Or she'd be an in-law if we were married.
Yeah, but you're not. When are you going to put a ring on?
But I'll ignore that. So the funny thing was, during this speech, guess who starts crying but Sarah Clayton, my girlfriend, who does not know anyone on the day at the event. But she got emotional and she was super embarrassed because I'm going, are you crying? And she's like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. And
She does this.
She's cried
during the ad of the block.
She cries at everything. She cries at anything and everything. And I want to add to the list of stupid crying things right now, because as you say, she did cry at a block ad. She's cried at a boy in a pram on the train one time.
She cried when she was had a little few many too fun drinks at the races, and she came to a movie with you and me in her races outfit.
Yeah.
She fell asleep for the whole film, but then woke up for the end and then cried for that part.
It was The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg. Maybe it was Wahlberg or Christian Bale.
Doesn't matter.
Woke up for that final scene where it all comes together and she cries without any context.
Ridiculous.
Which is the same as the event on the weekend. She didn't know anyone.
Well, she knew that there were family troubles, you know.
She just cried.
Who are you? I'm your long lost father. A third one?
That's not a thing. It's not.
Who are you? I'm your fourth father.
Yeah, my forefather. There's a difference. No fourth father. Anyway, add to the list of ridiculous things to cry at. 133353. Have you got a partner who cries a lot, or are you the crier? Who's the big crier?
What silly thing did you cry over? 133353.
One time we all chanted to Sarah,
cry,
and she started crying.
Yeah, it was great.
It was one of the best days of my life.
Well, that and meeting your real dad.
That was pretty good too. When I was born, idiot.
Oh yeah, sure. Then he left. 133353. Don't know, like,
you don't know when to stop.
Orange Crush, REM, Triple M, Tom and Ollie. REM and Triple M.
Good.
Like this.
Good stuff, Tom.
Oh, thanks.
133353. Who's the big crier? Who's the crier in your life who cries at the stupidest things ever? Mm. My girlfriend, Sarah, is a massive culprit for this.
Yeah,
we've already listed off a number of things she's cried at.
Remind us again.
Oh, an ad for The Block, an episode of MKR.
An episode of MKR.
Yes, a boy on a. Oh, I've got a great one. I've just realised. A boy on a train in a pram. I don't know what the deal was there. But there was a Macca's ad about 2 months ago.
No, there's
a stepfather who's with the family and they're getting like Happy Meals.
No.
And the kid's a bit like, oh, he's not my real dad. Funny you mentioned all the dad stuff before.
Yeah, well, you don't have one.
Well, because the kid's like, you know, my real dad. And they're like, hey, come on. And the dad gives him a Happy Meal. And they're in the restaurant.
Oh.
And the kid's like, yeah, thanks, Dad. And she cried at that.
That's ridiculous. Steve, what's the most ridiculous thing you've cried at on 133353?
Evening, Tom and Ollie. Mate, after the Commonwealth Games track and field results, I just can't help but tear up with Kurt Fernley anymore. Apple ads are killing me.
Oh, yes. Kurt Fernley was the spiritual leader, wasn't he?
He certainly was. And, you know, he's been through so much, and yet he's achieved so much more than any of us all together.
You tearing up now, Steve?
I am, mate. I've had to pull off to the side of the road through the instructions of the switchboard. And, yes, I'm in deep emotional heartache.
Yeah, pull off on the side of the road, I get it.
I did.
Did you also cry at the closing ceremony and how poor it was?
Well, I was hoping to, but I didn't get to see my athletes.
Yeah.
Kurt after the flag.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the pain, boys.
I cry when I see Guy Sebastian performing.
That was harsh.
Mm.
and then to bring on Usain Bolt, yeah. Whatever.
And Usain,
what
Usain was dancing on our graves, it felt like, wasn't it?
And the Optus ads have killed me because I'm seeing flashbacks of his success.
Well, the Commonwealth Games are a big hit, you know, so thanks, Steve.
Just don't talk about the closing ceremony, you know?
Why not? Yeah, why? Because it was a schmuzzle.
Have you heard about all that?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
That's why I said he cried at it.
Yeah. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey.
What's the most ridiculous thing you've cried over?
I cried at the Elevate ads where they're telling you if you're planning to be pregnant. Yeah. Yep.
What are the ads, sorry?
Elevate, the multivitamin you take when you're planning to be pregnant and whilst you're pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Rebecca.
I know.
You planning?
No, I've had mine.
You've had yours?
I've all three, done.
Are you crying at the thought of having a child? What are you crying about?
Look, I'll be honest, I cry at everything.
Everything.
It's just, it's tragic. I really am a tragic woman.
It is, yeah. Like my girlfriend, I understand.
Yeah, I know.
If we chanted cry now, Rebecca, do you think you'd cry?
If you what?
Cry.
Cry.
Oh, yeah,
cry.
I would.
Cry.
Yep.
Cry.
I'm a sympathy cry.
Cry. Cry.
No, now cry. I'm just laughing.
There's a bad headline in Triple M announcers, make girl cry, love.
Yeah,
it.
True.
Let's not do that.
133353. What silly thing did you cry over? Or didn't have to be you. Could be a partner. Could be a friend. Could be a colleague. Could be a granny.
Could be a stranger. Could it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Could be.
Yeah.
It could be a teacher.
Oh, I've made some teachers cry.
I know you would have. Yeah. You bully. 133353. Silly cries. Tom and Ollie. On Triple M. Living colour. Triple M. Love rears its ugly head. Tom and Ollie here.
Tom.
Did you like that or not really?
I loved it. Good stuff. I love everything you do on this show, Tom. You're a real creator.
What a team player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where'd you learn that from? Your dad.
Okay. Now, there's only so much you haven't got a dad jokes that I can stand.
I don't know what you're talking
before
about.
Before I punch you in the head.
Whoa. I wouldn't be saying that, mate, if you want to keep your broadcast license.
Mate, you and me.
I know you carry it around in your wallet with you all the time.
Mate, I'll show it to you right now. Here it is.
Oh, mate, is that counterfeit?
Real deal. See my name? McLovin.
Good.
Now, we're talking about crying and stupid cries.
Yeah.
I don't cry much. I'm pretty tough. Tom, you cry a lot because, because of a number of reasons. Is there weird
don't
things?
Don't bring this out here, mate. I know I'm a diversity hire, but just because of my sexuality doesn't make me a crier.
You are a crier, though. You get emotional.
No, I'm not.
You get emotional and stuff.
When?
Oh, I don't know.
Name one time I've cried.
When the yes vote came through.
It's true. It was a sad day.
Sad day?
Well, a happy sad day.
Okay. Whoa. So when have you cried that was stupid? Steve on 133353, your friend's dad.
Yeah, my friend's dad. Sorry if that's a little bit close to home, Ollie.
That's
but
yes.
It was he cried during Men in Black 2. The sequel.
What?
Men in Black 2?
Yeah.
I don't even know what happens in that movie. Is it sad?
Neither do I.
No one does.
Oh, man.
I imagine the aliens reconciled in some way towards the end, and he found that to be a bit of a tearjerker.
Oh, my God.
What's your friend's dad like normally?
This was the first time I met him, actually. Oh. So it was quite an introduction. We were watching a movie, just killing some time, and old Stu's back there blubbering away at the end.
Oh, jeez. Very good. All right, let's push on. We've got Mark.
Nice.
Mark, you've cried at something stupid?
Yeah, boys, it's not a very proud manly moment, but when Mufasa died in The Lion King.
Oh, mate. Don't bring it back. Don't bring it up.
Yeah, difficult times, boys. Difficult times.
How old were you when you watched it?
Mid-20s.
Yeah. Emotional time.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It moves us all, doesn't it, Mark?
It is, mate. It is, yeah, absolutely.
What's the evil one's name?
Scar.
Scar, that's right.
Because of the scar on his face.
Yeah, good. Spencer, what's your silly reason to cry?
Live music, mate. Like the first 5 minutes into like going to see a live gig, I'm just blubber a mess.
Really?
Jeez. Yeah, I don't.
Mate, last one was the Foo Fighters I went to. Oh. You know, they're playing their hard rock gigs, and there I am sobbing like a baby.
Oh, God, yeah. It just brings me to tears as well, seeing the Fooies play, you know.
Like the sad songs, like Everlong, or even just, you know, my life I've been searching for something.
No, it's just I think it's just the live music, just hearing it live and just everything all, just gets me going. But another one that gets me going is like, you know, if say someone comes on The Voice and they like blow my mind, I'll just tear up and have to walk out.
Yeah, I know. And they've got the stories, don't they, on The Voice?
Oh, their backstory.
Oh, you have to have a backstory in The Voice, don't you?
Spencer, do you ever sort of share those videos on Facebook and go, how good was this performance?
Yeah, no, I don't give a shit about their stories. It's more the, it's more the way they sing, and I don't know, I couldn't give a crap where they come from, mate. It's just
probably cry at our show with the only music meet we play. We get into your listening to this.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good, mate. What are you crying over?
Well, I'm such a sookie, Lala. I went to a movie and watched a trailer for something, and I was sooking that much, I actually got kicked out of the picture theatre.
Oh, man, during the trailer?
During the trailer.
You had to leave.
Oh, man.
Yep, I got actually asked by the usher back in those days to get up and leave because I was making too much noise by crying.
Oh. That's happened to me in the Titanic, actually. When I was 12 years old, I saw it. Titanic and I cried and had to leave the cinema.
Hang on, you saw the Titanic at 12 years old?
Yeah.
What kind of parenting is that?
Mum took me and I had to leave because when Jack was underwater, I was like, is he going to die? And I had to leave.
Moral of the story, don't take a 12-year-old to the Titanic.
Mate, that's why I'm tough now. That's why you're not resilient, because you didn't hack through the Titanic the way I did.
No, yeah, sure, mate.
I mean, I left halfway. But I watched it again later on.
133353. What silly thing do you cry over? Tom and Ollie on Triple M.